as I mentioned last week, that we're going to have to work on the Indian of Malchus, to understand the Indian of Malchus. It's going now a little bit, but then I'll tell you when it starts. It's going. We were learning last week about Einik Shabbos and the Shabbos candles davke that are lit by the Isha, by the woman, whose Meira Einei Bala, that she illuminates, she causes light to shine. Her husband, her family, through her is able to see the tachlis of their lives and to remember the tachlis of their lives. That's the greatest Einik, the greatest pleasure and delight. To transform the darkness, the nega, the suffering, into the einig of remembering who you are and why you're here. But really, in order to understand that, we have to learn the subject of Malchus. It's a very big inyan in Torah. And I'm not going to be talking about the candles really right now, maybe for a little bit, for the next couple of weeks, the candles themselves. But everything that I'm talking about is Shabbos, because without understanding Malchus, it's impossible to understand Shabbos. And it's impossible to understand... It's impossible to understand the Jewish people, Knesset Yisrael, since we are the manifestation of Malchus in this world, and specifically the Jewish woman, whose bechina is Malchus, whose entire essence is Malchus, which is why the candles, dafka, are lit by the woman to connect these levels of Malchus. L'cha Hashem hamamlocha. Hashem is the one who is king. Hamalchus shelchehi and Malchus, all Malchus is Hashem. This is the seventh midah, the seventh of the lower midahs. Chesed gvur tiferes netzach hayad yisayid and Malchus, counting from Chabad is the tenth midah, from Chochma bina v'das and going down is the tenth midah. But from the midahs of this world that we're connected to emotionally and spiritually, so Malchus is the seventh. Shabbos is the seventh. Shabbos is always called Yom HaShvi. And that's why Shabbos is Shabbos Malchus. Shabbos is a queen. Shabbos is Malchus. Eish is Chayil. Ater is Bala. The Eish is Chayil that we say Friday night, Eish is Chayil Miyimtza, the woman of valor, is the same Eish is Chayil who's that Ater is Bala, who's the crown of her husband. And the crown always indicates this midah of Malchus, that the Jewish woman possesses this trait of Eishes Chayil Ateres Bala, the crown of her husband. And the entire Jewish people are being described as the Eishes Chayil, who's the Ateres Bala, who's the crown, kivyochel, of our husband Hashem. So in order to understand Shabbos, which is Yom HaShvi, the seventh day, we have to study the Midas Hash, the Midas HaMalchus, which is the seventh Midah. And since, obviously, we're talking about something which is connected, which comes from Sisrei Torah, from secrets of Torah, and that's not an area where people like ourselves can go, so it has to be understood on a level that we can gain from and understand and appreciate Shabbos and appreciate our daughters, our wives, and ourselves, the entire Jewish people. The tachlis of everything, the end of the story, the end of the whole story, we say all the time in davening, pasuk from Zechariah, V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, b'yayimahu ya Hashem echad u'shmai echad. That's the end of the ma'isa. The end of the Maisa is that Hashem's kingdom is going to be fully revealed, and on that day he will be one and his name will be one. The end of the Maisa cannot be detached from the beginning of the Maisa. All beginnings and ends have to be connected. That's what Malchus is all about. And the beginning of the Maisa, which we spoke about the last few weeks, is expressed at the end of Pekyavis, Kol Ma Shabara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olama. Everything that Hashem created, when Hashem created this world, Kol Ma Shabara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olama, all that He created, everything, Lo Barahu Elo Lechvodim, it was created to reveal His Kavod. Kavod, glory, honor, what does that mean? Lechvodo, So the Mekubalim tell us that Kavod, Kvodo, in the words of Rabbi Avram ben Hagra, the son of the Vilna Gaon, and all the Mekubalim, Kvodo perish Malchus. Kavod means Malchus. The ultimate goal is to reveal Malchus Hashem in this world. When we say in Kedusha, Baruch Kvod Hashem, when we say in Davening, praised is the Kavod of Hashem, Kvod Hashem, what is Kvod Hashem? Hu Malchus. It's the Malchus of Hashem. It's this Midas HaMalchus. So, how do people like us understand this? Our idea of a king is like from the Wizard of Oz or something, you know? It's from fiction, from stories, from fairy tales. Our idea of Malchus is so immature, is so silly. All that we're talking about these next few weeks, obviously, is not just connected to Shabbos, it's also the union of Malchus, Shavu Malchus, Tvias Omer, Kabbalah Satara. This parish is the parish of Kabbalah Satara of Yisrael. In our lives, we see two separate domains. There's that domain that's called Bekoach, ability, potential, Bekoach. And there's a second domain that's called Bepoel, which means reality, Metzius, Bepoel. And we see this as two separate things. Let me explain. For instance, with the Midah of Chesed, with the Midah of kindness, of loving kindness. Many, many people have a tremendous, tremendous she'ifa, a longing and a desire to do good things, to give love, to be kind, and to share, to do for others. And they understand the chshivas of giving. And when they hear about someone who needs, their heart's filled with a feeling of compassion, of love. Nevertheless, although this person is filled with the bekoach of loving, and it could be that he's read or she has read all kinds of poems and heard all kinds of songs, and is very much in love with the idea of loving somebody or giving to someone, but when it comes to bepoel, to carrying it out and to living that way, it doesn't go. It doesn't work out. There are people who love chesed with all of their hearts, and it's true. It's not a game. They really do. They love chesed, and they love the idea of chesed. And they spend their entire lives, as I mentioned last week, saying, I want to do this, I plan on doing this, I'm going to be this way with my husband, with my wife, with my children, with my friends, and I'm going to help this Hachnasas Kalin and Bikur Cholim, and I'm going to help the Tamchei Shabbos, you know, all wonderful things. But they're always coming up short. It just doesn't go. Usually, not always, but it usually doesn't go. It doesn't go. A person who gets all excited about tzedakah and feels, I would give $1 million to help this person. But then when it comes to Bepoel carrying it out, he always tells the person, the gabbai, whatever, you know, next week I'm planning on making a very big deal. I'm expecting a lot of money in next week. This year wasn't a good year, maybe next year. Whatever it is, the hand doesn't go into the pocket. The check isn't signed. It's always, I plan on doing it, I really want to do it, now's not a good time, and postponing and delaying and so on. And as I said, the person's really sincere. He really does want to do this. He really wants to give, to share, and so on. The problem is that we're dealing here with two midas, and a lot of people don't know that. Being filled with love and the desire to give is the midas of chesed. But actually giving is malchus. Writing the check is malchus. Taking the money out of the pocket, telling someone how you feel about him or how you feel about her, saying good words to a Jew. Not just thinking about, if I had the time, I would take my kid someplace and we'd spend a day together. There are people who go like that, thinking like that, long after the children already have grown up and have their own children. There's a separate midah in the world that's called midas amalchus. And midas amalchus means bepoil, means doing it. Lamaisa. A melech, malchus, let's try not to think for a second of like somebody staying in a long robe and sitting on a throne. Malchus, the melech, what is the koach of a melech? The koach of a melech in the simplest level is what makes a melech different from most people, is that most people of the world, even though they would like to do something, they simply don't have the means of doing it. They're not capable of doing it. They're limited by financial considerations, by many other considerations, by other things that are obstructing them from carrying out their goodwill. Or, God forbid, it could be something which is negative, but they don't have that ability to do it. We would like to see a change in the matzav of Eretz Yisrael, and every Jew sits around reading the newspaper and then comes to shul and talks about how if he were prime minister, this is what he would do. If I were the king. And we feel paralyzed because we're filled with good ideas. The bekoach is unbelievable. The bekoach, the level of bekoach is mamish off the scale. But a melech has the means of carrying something out. Malchus means not only to talk about something. The whole meaning of a melech is that a melech doesn't just have to have ritzainis and sheifas, interests and will and desire. The melech is a person who's able to take all these separate ideas, these things that might be lingering in his heart and his mind for many years, and when he reaches the office of melech, he's now able to focus all of these sheifas, all of these interests and desires, and carry them out bepoil. When it's a good king, that's terrific. In history, most kings have been rotten. And it's terribly tragic when a person like that achieves the position, reaches the position of Malchus. But that's what a melech can do. That's what Malchus means. Whenever we read about Shechinta Begelusa, the divine presence, the Shechina of Hashem is in a state of exile. And this is the most horrible thing. Most people don't know what that means. What does it mean, Shechinta Begelusa? What kind of God is Hashem, Shechina? And you know that the Shechina is called Malchus. Shechina is Malchus. What does that mean that the Shechina is in a state of galus? So think for a minute about the pasuk that I just said, and the pasuk that everybody here has been saying since we were little children. V'hoyah Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. And Hashem will be king. B'yoyim ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmecha. On that day, he will be one, his name will be one. V'hoyah Hashem l'melech. And Hashem will be king. So Chazal, of course, are shocked by this. And without even knowing the Gemara Pesachim, we ourselves are shocked by it. What does that mean that Hashem will be king? And he's not king now? What does it mean, V'hoya Hashem l'melech? This is the dream of the future, V'hoya Hashem l'melech? Certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's loving kindness is Ein Sof. If you think that we're nice, and that we have wonderful ideas and plans, we're finite. And we're mixed up. Hashem's rotzen lahetiv, Hashem's will and desire to give and to show love and to reveal love is infinite because He's infinite. So what does it mean that Hashem will be king? Certainly, everybody here is thinking that there's a huge difference between me and Hashem. I have all kinds of psychological, spiritual, physical things that are in my way. So I'm not the melech. So what can I do? I can't carry out. I have all kinds of problems carrying out my good ideas, my good feelings, and my dreams. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is melech malchei hamelachim. His will, His desire to give to us, to love us, is infinite. And so is His ability to carry out. Klum choser mi beis hamelech? Is there something missing from the palace of the king? And we feel that when it comes, we feel that chisarnu when it comes to Hashem's love. And we feel that when it comes to other things as well. Like we're thinking, so why can't Hashem, why doesn't Hashem put an end to Jewish suffering? And you see something, you say, no. If you're a melech, do it. You could do it. We believe that you love us. We believe that you want what's best for us. And you know what's best for us. And that you could carry out whatever you want. So, how about it? Please. So here, you know, is the meaning of Shechinta Megalusa. That Hashem Yisbarach made the world in such a way, and it's hard to even talk about this without crying, that He made His malchus depend upon our malchus. And ba'avanusenu harabim b'pnei chato'enu, because of our sins, we've driven the malchus into galus. We've driven the Shechina away from her home, away from Yerushalayim. The malchus is missing. The malchus is not revealed. There's hestapanim, there's concealment. And there's bizyaynis and cherepes, bizyaynis. The first Torah in Likutei Maran, Rabbi Nachman talks about, it's all about malchus. The first Torah in Likutei Maran is all about malchus. And it begins with such a painful sentence. Rabbi Nachman says there at the beginning that right now in Galus, all of the chayin and the chashivas, all of the charm and chashivas that belongs to Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, which is the Shechina, the Jewish people, which is the embodiment of the Shechina in this world, all of the chayin and the chashivas is not by us, it's by the Goyim. And the Jewish people are despised and downtrodden and mocked and beaten. The Malchus is in Galus, is in a state of Galus, and therefore there's a mask on the Harabayis. And it doesn't mean the Chas V'Shalom that Hashem can't, but Hashem has made Kivyachol His presence in this world, His fate in this world, dependent upon our Avaida, our learning, our davening, our mitzvahs. And therefore, our entire tefillah, especially when it comes to the time of Malchus, the time of the year, Rosh Hashanah, the time of HaMelech, our entire tefillah is that Hashem's Malchus should be revealed. It's all there. This is the tragedy, that Hashem's Malchus is in a perpetual state of bekoach, of it could be, because you and I are always living a way of we could be. We could be. And we don't cross over that space. It's always we could be, I will, I want to, I would like to. And because of that, Hashem kivyochel is a melech also beritim, Hashem is bound by our ineffectiveness. Hashem is bound kivyochel, He made Himself bound by our inability to move on to the level of malchus shebe malchus. You know, I don't know, without my glasses, I really can't see past three rows. I know that Shai is here, because I know Shai has so many years, so I could recognize him right away. But otherwise, I don't know who's here, but I was talking to an unbelievable, fantastic girl last night, Mamish, somebody who should be a Kala this minute. And I'm thinking, and we're talking, and I'm thinking, this is a young lady, and I don't know if she's hearing this, but nobody else knows that it's her, but she knows who I'm talking about, if she's going to hear this either now, or if she'll listen to the tape. But you know, what I was trying to tell you last night is that there is a space in between you and the chuppah, and between you and Sheva Brachas, there's a space, and you have to. It's up to you to cross over that space. And you dive into Hashem, and He's brought you mamish to that point. But Hashem tells us that we have to engage in that world of malchus shebe malchus to make that last step. And you could have rabbis and parents pushing and yelling and begging and screaming, but ultimately you have to make that step into the world of malchus shebe malchus. It's hard. It's hard and it's scary. But when that happens, then Hashem reveals His malchus in an amazing way. So, we understand now something that we talk about all the time, and I mentioned the past few weeks, but now when I was talking about the last few weeks, it's now going to hopefully be understood in a much clearer way. We spoke about this midah of Malchus of Leis Lo Megarmei Klum. Anytime you see in the Svarim the concept of Malchus, what immediately follows or precedes it is that Malchus is impoverished. Leis Lo Megarmei Klum, she has nothing of her own. Malchus has nothing of her own. Leis Lo Megarmei Klum. Malchus is always associated with tznius, with humility, with modesty, with concealment. Now we understand why. You see, Malchus does not have its own will and its own desire. That's Chesed Gevurah Tiferes Netzach Hayad Yisrael. Each of those is a world of wanting something. Chesed means this, Gevurah means that, Tiferes means, each one means Midas. Either Midas that are on the right side, that are more positive forces, or the more Midas that are of restraint. But they all have personality, they all have will and desire. When we speak about Malchus not having her own, being impoverished, Leis Lo Megarmei Klum, it means that the entire essence of Midas and Malchus, and I don't know how to explain this in a way that it really deserves to be explained, but the entire essence of Midas and Malchus is not to achieve something new. It's not to create something, to generate something, to bring something about. It's not, I have to be seen, known. All the other Midas, there's a feeling of, I want to do this, I'm going to do this, I plan this. Not Malchus. All Malchus is just to allow all of those six previous feelings and thoughts to emerge, to come out, to be part of the world, to be part of my life. Therefore, the modesty of a Jewish woman, of a Jewish girl, the tznius, of Sari Menu being in the tent, where all the books are written about men, and all the Torah and all the Avodah that we read about, that we learn about growing up, is about men. With an occasional story about Sari Shneir to make all the girls happy, and to try to, you know, to see what we could do with the Imahos, and to try to reveal, but really, the Imahos are so unbelievably hidden. We're going to talk a lot about that. And all of the tzadkanias are so unbelievably hidden. Go to the Sfarim store and see how many Sfarim there are in tzaddikim and how many Sfarim there are in tzadkanias. Try to find that. Go through the catalog and see how many Sfarim are there on tzadkanias. There really shouldn't be any. Not because they don't exist. It's because they don't want to be seen. The tzaddikas does not want to be seen. The tzaddikas is not saying, I wanted to do this or to do that. All the tzaddikas wants to do, which is the Jewish people, Hashem's tzaddikas, is to facilitate and to bring into reality that which Hashem Yisbarach already wanted. That which is already good, which is already desired. Therefore, Malchus is always compared to the moon. And we've spoken about this, and we'll talk about this a lot more over the next few weeks. The moon is the Mo'ar HaKatan. It's the small one. It's the Mo'ar HaKatan. And it doesn't have its own light. It doesn't seek to create its own light. That's not what it's trying to do. It doesn't have its own light because all it wants to do is to reveal the light of the other, to allow the light of the sun to shine. And then the moon just steps away, and nobody gives her credit. It's not me. All the mother wants to do is that her children should shine, that her husband should shine. That's all that she dreams of in this world, is that those who she loves should shine. And she quietly retreats into the ohel, into the tent. It's an amazing midah samalchus. It wants nothing, it takes nothing. It just wants that others should be able to be. who they want to be. That chesed gevurah tiferes netzach chayim yisoid. And imagine you had, if you would have, Baruch Hashem, if you'd have six children, and each one had a name, chesed gevurah tiferes netzach chayim yisoid. And the mother is Malchus. And all Malchus wants is that chesed should be chesed, and gevurah should be gevurah, in a good and healthy way, and so on. Therefore, in the middle of the night, the moon shines, and nobody else can muster up the strength. She reveals light in the middle of the night, and it's not her light. She just allows it to be. She helps it. She gives a little bit of a nudge. She gives a kiss. She gives a kind word. That's David HaMelech. That's why by Kiddush Levana, we'll talk more about this. That's why by Kiddush Levana, you say David HaMelech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. And David Melech is the seventh of the Yushbizen. And David Melech is Shabbos. We'll talk a lot about that also. In Yav David Melech. And therefore, as I mentioned in the past, it was so hard for Michal, from the house of Shaul, from the house of Yosef at Tzadik and Rachel, it was very, very hard. It was very hard for her to understand David HaMelech dancing like Echad HaRekin, like a peasant. And according to the Mekubalim, according to Sisrei Torah, David HaMelech wasn't just kicking up his feet, he was doing somersaults, you know that? He was going mamish somersaults. So she couldn't stand that. And David HaMelech says, V'hisi shafel be'einai. That's my whole tachas in this world, is that Jews should have simcha through me. That others should be inspired, that others should have hope and want to grow and to change. I don't have my own existence. You see, someone, you can't understand. How come I'm not embarrassed, I'm not humiliated? David Melech's existence was only one thing. He's the moon off which the light of Hashem, through which the light of the sun, Hashem, is going to shine into this world. That's all. There's no meaning of covet. He has no covet of his own. It's only to reveal Hashem's covet. It's only to reveal Hashem's malchus. You know how many times a mother is prepared to humiliate herself for the sake of her children? It's mind-boggling. What a mother is prepared to do for children, for her family, to humiliate herself, to bring scorn, to make herself a laughingstock for her children, doesn't make a difference. Therefore, it says in Pasuk, "Vayeshev Shlomo al kisei Hashem," and Shlomo HaMelech, that's Malchus Beis David, and Shlomo HaMelech sat upon the throne of Hashem. It was Shlomo HaMelech's throne. But it's not really, he didn't look at it that way. Could you imagine? Even little nudniks like us, if someone would come into your house, a chutzpah, unannounced, this is my malchus. This is my palace. How dare you come into my palace? Shlomo HaMelech's throne, which has gotten a lot of publicity, it was special. It was a special throne. But Shlomo HaMelech didn't see this. The Navi describes it as Vayeshev Shlomo al kisei Hashem. Al kisei Hashem. With all of the glory and splendor of that throne and all that it meant of being the most powerful person in the world, of having the entire world lying at your feet. By Shlomo HaMelech, it was not his throne at all. I don't have a throne. This is the kisei Hashem. That's all it is. Malchus has nothing of her own, doesn't claim anything for herself. That's why Malchus is referred to as impoverished. And David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech were the wealthiest Jews in the world, who were dalim and aniyim, impoverished and poor. And this is the mitzvah, the real pnimius of the Jewish people. which we're going to talk a lot more when we do a piece in the next few weeks from the Piyazetz and the Chavis HaTalmidim. When we say by Kiddush Levana, She Hasidla is Chadish Kamaisa, that right now the moon is blemished. Right now the moon is suffering. The moon is looked down upon. It doesn't have its own light. Just like throughout history, women were looked down upon. They were not appreciated, and still in most places of the world, they're humiliated and scorned, just used and abused. And in America, it's the same thing. It's just in a more sophisticated way. So now you have a job and will abuse you at work. Or now you have achieved a certain status. You know, you could vote, but the agmas nefesh, the pgimas halavana of women, is still there until Mashiach comes. And the Jewish people, shiya sidel es chadesh kamaisa, the eishes chayil ateres bala, the Jewish people who are Hashem's crown, are going to be renewed and restored to that level of splendor, of glory, even though that's not what we've sought in this world. Therefore, the entire essence of the Jewish people is so hidden and is to be hidden. The whole world, anywhere in the world where there's civilization, anywhere in the world where this person who could believe that there's a God, it's only because of Klal Yisrael. It's only because of Klal Yisrael. Not only do we not get credit for it, all right, and the encyclopedia says that they came up with it, you know, the Jews. But then, not only do we not get credit for it, but adrabba, inquisitions, pogroms, and holocausts are carried out in the name of religion. Isn't it interesting? In the name of God. And who brought God to the world? Who revealed God to the world? Who's the Kisi Hashem in this world? It's Klal Yisrael. So Islam, Christianity, it hurts them to acknowledge this. So the Jewish people have revealed Hashem in the world, and we're hiding in our tent, and their enemies have found us and have sought to destroy us, to eliminate Malchus Hashem from this world, to destroy Malchus Hashem. So this is what I was talking about the past few weeks. You remember I was saying how all that the husband works for during the week. The husband's out there working, but the malchus is through the wife. The oinig that we spoke about last week comes through the Jewish woman. So we understand, all that Hashem works for, kivyachal, all that Hashem works to reveal, all of Hashem's amelus, Botach bolev baala, Hashem's heart trusts that his wife, the Jewish people, will carry it into this world. And we have, and we're still trying to. And not only are we not recognized and appreciated, and we often feel that our own husband, Hashem, doesn't appreciate us, but we've suffered immeasurably as a result of this. As a result of this desire that we have to create for HaKadosh Baruch Hu a dira b'sachtainim, a wonderful, livable dwelling place in the physical world, a lichtige dira. And the Jewish people, leis leim gamei klum, they have nothing for themselves. They have nothing for themselves. This is the mystery of the Mor HaKatan, of the moon that is called the small one. This is the mystery of Yaakov Avinu, our father, who's called Yaakov b'no HaKatan, the youngest one, the smallest one. The David hu HaKatan, and David is the smallest one, and Rachel b'tcha Ktana. And all of the light of Hashem of the universe shines through us into the world, and we get no credit for it. And we don't seek honor and glory. And this is the beauty of Malchus. This is why David HaMelech is so beautiful. Yifei Naim. This is the beauty of David HaMelech. You see, in America, if somebody says, if we describe somebody in such a way of leis le megame klum, if someone says about you, you're mamish nothing. You're nothing, you have nothing. In America, that's the biggest insult imaginable. If someone says you're nothing, you have nothing, that's the biggest insult. It's the biggest insult. It's considered to be the biggest chisaron and the biggest bizoyin. There's nothing more humiliating than you could say to a person, and you have nothing and you're nothing. Right? It's a big chisaron, it's terrible, it doesn't sound nice. And the way that a person would use it in America probably is not meant to be nice. It's not meant to be nice. You're nothing, you know, but you have nothing of your own. Not having in America, in Western civilization, not having is a siman of failure. The hardest midah is malchus. It's the hardest midah. But let's not look at it in such a way. In pnimius, the truth is that it's davka humility. It's davka by not claiming my own. That the beauty of malchus is revealed. If the malchus, let's put it this way. If the Jewish woman throughout history would have sought for herself to make a name, so we wouldn't be here. We simply wouldn't have, we wouldn't exist. That's why if someone doesn't learn the Inyan of Malchus properly, it's impossible to explain. It's impossible to understand what is the nature of that feminine attribute of Malchus, which in the world is such, in the secular world, what I'm saying now, these things that I'm talking about, what we're learning tonight, would be so unbelievably mocked and ridiculed in the secular world, and, you know, maybe I would be arrested for talking this way. This is like a throwback to the Middle Ages. What are you saying exactly, Rabbi? Are you saying that women don't deserve to be recognized? Are you saying that a woman has to be the background? Or as it says in the Sefer Kabbalah, that the woman is the white parchment and the man is the letters, the Isis? So are you saying that we're second fiddle? Are you saying this and you saying that? Well, I'm going to prove it to you, Rabbi, that I'm going to be the most powerful, obnoxious, and arrogant lawyer, accountant, doctor in the entire neighborhood. I'm going to prove to you that I'm a real woman. This is the sheker of our times. Saryumena was a real woman. Malchus is the most feminine quality in the world, concealment and modesty. There's nothing that's less womanly than wanting to be revealed and wanting to be seen and wanting and not to live in this way that we're talking about, this way of Malchus. With all the talk of feminism, there's never been a less feminine generation than this generation. And this is a chorban. This caused an unbelievable chorban and a billable of confusion in the world. And it must be that this is the final test before Mashiach, this inyan of the misunderstanding of who a woman is and what a mother is, and the pride and joy that a woman would have in her world with her children, with her husband. The pride that a woman would have by not being discovered, by not being seen, by not being known, by watching everybody around her growing and thriving, and in her heart of hearts winking, knowing that she's the one that orchestrated all of this. But nobody else in the world knows. The children take credit, the husband takes credit, no one else knows. It's only the Rebbeinu Shlom, and sometimes she knows. But nobody else. Nowadays you can't sell this. And that's the churban of the time that we're living in. It's a very big churban. Because we're getting closer to Mashiach when Hashem is going to restore the moon to its previous glory, so there are women who are seeking this in a premature, in a way that's not time, it's just not time. And it's not done the right way. So the Maral writes in the Geburos Hashem, in Perek Ayin, the 70th Perek. V'hine timtze k'moichein sheha'aretz shehi yisayid ha'tachtein. Therefore we find that the earth, nobody thinks about how wonderful it is to have this thing beneath our feet. When was the last time you expressed any gratitude for having the earth beneath your feet? So the earth, the Maral says, she is Sayyid HaTachton, which is the lowest, which we look at as being the lowest in this world, the earth. V'hashofel mikol hanimtzoyim. It's the most humble and what seems to us to be the least significant of all that's in this world. We admire buildings. We admire even mountains. That's choshev. But the earth, stam, that's nothing. The Ral says, the earth is the hashlomas hakol. Everything grows because of the earth, and the earth gets no recognition for it. Everything happens, it's the hashlomas hakol. Comes from the earth. The earth is malchus. Shemipnei shehi achrayin mikol hayisaydis. Dirt, or the earth, is the last of all of the elements. It's the lowest of all the elements. It's the last of the elements. Low doesn't mean it's not good, just the opposite. But it's the last of all the elements. It's the tachtoin. It's the achrayin mikol. He says, al yoda, therefore, davka through the earth, yushlam hakol, everything is fulfilled, everything is perfected. That's the inin of malchus, life. Kila olam hadovra yushlam al yidei ha'achron shehu hashlama. Because the project is always completed at the end. And that which comes at the end, which is why the kala comes in after the chasen. So all the men are thinking, boy, am I chashiv. Ui, I'm chashiv. She's still waiting outside, and I'm already here, under the chuppah. So the Maral says that the achron, that which is last, is the hashlam. It's the completion. It puts everything together. It makes everything work. It turns on all the lights. Everything's plugged in. Until the achron, that's why achron, achron, chaviv. That's why there's a chavivus. There's something precious about the end. All that Amalek is, the Malchus, you see, we're going to talk a lot about this over the next few weeks. I'm getting closer to Purim. The Malchus of Klal Yisrael, everything has a counter force. Everything has a koach that is standing against it. The Malchus of holiness in this world is Knesset Yisrael. And the Malchus that's standing in the way of Knesset Yisrael is Amalek. And Amalek always means Melech, as the Tanya explains, Malika means to cut off, not to allow something to be completed. Whenever you want to do something, and it's a good thing, it's the right thing, and you're just not getting there, that's called Amalek. That's why Amalek is the Gematria Suffolk, because it doesn't allow you to carry an idea through. It always creates doubts in your heart. Just when you're thinking about something which is good and healthy and right, so that world of Amalek creates sveikas. Amalek is kiyad al keis ka. Amalek is covering the letters of Hashem's name, not allowing the yud kei to connect to the vav kei. The vav kei, of course, is malchus. Amalek says, think about the best things in the world. Plan to be a good Jew. Amalek doesn't care about that. The main thing is that the vav kei is not revealed. The main thing is that you don't actually carry out your plans. That's Amalek. Amalek will let you think all the nicest thoughts, to make the greatest plans to be a Jew, and to buy all the svarim and you put them on your shelf, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then to go to a shiur and you hear something about how you're going to be the best wife and the best husband, gevaldik. But when it doesn't happen, that's called Amalek. That's a koch of Amalek. Amalek doesn't himself. If you're having problems finding out who Amalek is, because a lot of people this time of the year are saying, I would like to erase Amalek, I just never met him. You meet him every single day, many times a day. Indecision. That which is holding you back from giving, from caring, from loving, from saying the right words to the person who needs the words, that's all Amalek. It's the Malchus of Tum, it's the Malchus of Haman. So I saw in a sefer a gewaltige marshal to explain this. And it's really simple, that's what makes it so good. This is already found in the Kadmonim. It's the old marshal, I forgot about it. But it's an old marshal. So you know how all our Mishalim start. Once upon a time there's a father, once upon a time there's a king. So he wanted to make, he had an only son, and it was time for the son's chasana. It was time for the wedding. So he, not only did he pick a beautiful hall, he built the most spectacular place. A king? So he built a beautiful, spectacular hall, and he ordered the most delicious food from all over the world. And he had the best musicians from all over the world. and the walls were painted with beautiful things, and everything was great. And the Olam comes, the people come, and they walk into this, when they walk into the banquet hall, into the wedding hall, it's breathtaking. They never saw such a beautiful place. And the food is laid out, Kiyad HaMelech, in such a way, they never saw such macholim, such food. And the musicians, the band, and so there's only one thing that's missing. News arrived that the chassan is not coming. He's backed out. Everything, the kala and the music and the place and the food, everything is fine, but the chassan is not coming. The chassan is not coming. So there's one of the guests, thousands of people. So one of the guests, he goes over to the king, to the father of the chassan. And he says, look, your highness, we shouldn't let that spoil our night. After all, there's terrific food that you brought. There's a great band. A lot of nice people. I think we should have a nice Leibetikis Simcha. I think we should have a celebration. So you know that not only would the father of the king say, you're an idiot, he'd probably be executed for saying such a thing. Other rabbi. It's just the opposite. That wedding hall that minutes before the news of the chassan backing out, that wedding hall that was spectacular in the eyes of the father, in the eyes of the father and the intelligent guests who understand what does it mean when the chassan's missing. In their eyes now, it looks grotesque. The food looks sickening. It looks stupid. What are all those dead cows doing lying on the tables over there? It looks disgusting. Chickens and cows, like, what are they doing here? It looks grotesque. The whole thing was crazy. Musicians, it's just stam noise. Because the chassan is the tachlis. And the whole wedding is for the chassan, that there should be yichud between the chassan and kala. And if he's not here, then none of this has any tam or any reich. Then none of it has a taste or a smell. It's just a lot of work. 6 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 6 days of Adam La'Omal Yula, of hard work, but Hevel Varik, that came to nothing. That's all it is. Work, vital work, caterers, musicians, printers, the invitations, everything. Builders, but it's not meilas that led to nothing because the chasana is not here. There's no chasana. So everything that took place during the 6 days of preparing for the wedding has taken on the most horrible, horrible empty, is wearing a shroud of emptiness, and it's no longer appealing, it's disgusting. Good news. That's a pretty depressing thought. Good news. The chassan, it wasn't true. And here he is. The chassan has arrived. So the chassan's arrived. Stam, it was crazy. Somebody was saying, spreading a rumor. But the chassan, the chassan just pulled up. And here he is. He was a little bit late. There was a problem. He's here. Everything's okay. You know, many, many years ago, I used to work as a busboy, you know, when I was a bacher. I used to do that, and so there were other guys here that did that, as a waiter and a busboy, and I was, one of the jobs that I had was, I was supposed to, like, open the door for the kala to come down, you know, and then I would open the door for the chassan to make his grand entrance, which was really, that was a really good job to get, because for a couple minutes you didn't have to, you know, run around and do stuff. You're just able to, like, stand there. But what was interesting, that I was, whatever, 15, 16 years old, I was usually the last person that the chassan and kala spoke to, which is scary. So I was standing there, next to the door, and the chassan was standing, and a few times it happened, that the chassan would start talking to me. He said, I don't know, you know, I just really met her a few weeks ago. He started talking. And like, and I'm just like an idiot of a kid. And I'm saying, nah, she looks really nice. You know, and this happened, you know, a couple of times. Because, you know, he's standing there next to me. He doesn't want anybody else to hear this. He says, I don't know what, you know, I'm not sure what I'm doing, what I'm getting into. Usually Khalid, I didn't hear that, you know, but the chassan, you know. They usually say that for 50 or 60 years after the chasen also. I don't know what I got into. But but you know, sometimes the chasen has a hard time getting into the wedding hall. So that's Malchus is missing. He wants to get married, but then he doesn't come under the chuppah. So Baruch Hashem, it took a little bit longer, the kallah is there, but the chasen came. So the chasen shows up. And when he walks in, it's amazing. A transformation takes place. It's a miracle. All of a sudden, the food starts to look delicious again. It looks appealing. It's calling out, right? And the tables and the paintings and the chandeliers. Everything is once it's lichtig. In a second, a miracle takes place. A transformation, and everything is shining. Everything is lichtig. Everything is beautiful. And the music sounds so delicious. It's the same guys that were playing a minute ago. But the music sounds so wonderful. Everything has tam, everything tastes good, everything has a good reyach. But it's more than that. Now that the chasen has arrived, it's no longer a piece of bread. It's not a piece of bread. It's a chefzer of simcha. It's a Megillas Esther. It's a sukkah. It's a lulav. It's amazing. It's not just a piece of bread. And that little cake that you have at the chasna, it's not stam a piece of cake. It's a chefzer of a sudas mitzvah. It's an object. It's something that has been raised to a much different level. It's filled with the light of tachlis, of purpose. That until now, this was a piece of bread that was very, very much alone and separated. It was a could have, would have, should have been piece of bread that was not connecting to its tachlis. Stop. And therefore it wasn't really filled with life. But now that the chasen has arrived, this piece of bread is lifted up to another place. It's lifted up to a higher madrega, to something altogether different. Every single piece of food has in it mesayis daidim, the simcha, the joy of a chasen kala being together. Every single bite has oid yishama be'arei Yehuda. And the same people who a few minutes before were just like shuffling and walking in their room, around the room, so now they're walking to give mazal tov to the chasen, and the women are going to say mazal tov to the kala, and every single step is a step towards Mashiach, towards Yerushalayim, of oid yishama be'arei Yehuda b'chusas Yerushalayim. Every single step. This is the end of Malchus. This is what Malchus means. Malchus is the chasen arriving. Try to understand what that means. Malchus means that until the bapayel, until the tachlis begins to be revealed, until that time, everything is in a state of maybe, it could be, I don't know, I don't think so. Everything is wavering back and forth. Everything is in a state of bekoach, maybe, with potential. The Maral said, "Shal yada yushlam hakol," that through the midah of Malchus, everything is completed. The chasen walks in, that's the midah of Malchus, that moment when the chasen appears. Now, it means that all of the work through all the 6 days to prepare the foods, and to schlep, and to carry the benches, and to clean the place, and everything that was during the past 6 days, was mamish filled with tachlis. It was filled with the greatest tachlis of all. It was the work of a Jew who's making a dir b'tachtonim, and therefore even the food, even the simple things, even that person working during the 6 days of the week, he's working towards Shabbos, he's working towards Yerushalayim. So even the simple things, it's no longer just a piece of bread that he's working for. Now he's working for a chefz of what? Of Yerushalayim, of a carbon, it's a piece of a carbon. And this is the meaning of the Jewish wife lighting the candles. meaning the Shabbos candles, Me'ires Einav, that she causes her husband's eyes to glow, to shine with light. She's able to bring that light into the home. We've been talking about the last few weeks, the light, the light of Shalom Bayis, of Shalom Bayis of Shleimus. Because during the 6 days of the week, it's a lot of cleaning and schlepping and working and being out there. Ein Keitz La'amala, as we spoke about last week. There's no end to the schlepping. And during the 6 days of the week, it's so hard to feel the tachlis. And therefore, the 6 days of the week are filled with anger and frustration. And people are not acting where they should and saying the things that they should. Because during the 6 days of the week, unless you're a person that's strong in your emuna and you're a Shabbos degiyid, during the 6 days of the week, you don't see the chasm. You just don't see the chasm. So what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm schlepping weiter. I'm going to work. I'm getting up. I'm on the train. Here I am. And I have to meet this client and talk to this person. I don't see any chasm here. So everything loses its charm. Nothing appeals to a person. Because if there's no tachlis, that's what the world is suffering from. That's why they're trying to find places where it's going to find new people and places that are going to charm them. They can't find it in their own homes. They can't find it in their own lives. So they're always looking for another person that's going to charm me. Or another place that's going to be charming. Because inside they don't have malchus. They're so broken. And the malchus is in golas. A Shabbos dikiyid, the Jew of Shabbos, is bo Shabbos bo menucha. That's the restfulness of Shabbos. A person who lives with Shabbos the entire week is able to feel, who lives with a real Shabbos is able to feel even during the 6 days of the week, even though he doesn't see the chasm clearly with his eyes, he doesn't see the kala. But he knows that Shabbos is tachlis ma'aseh shamayim v'aretz. His life is filled with tachlis. Every step is towards Yerushalayim. Every step is towards Shabbos. Hayom yom rishon b'Shabbos, yom sheni b'Shabbos. And the peace of Shabbos is, as I spoke about last week, is finally I'm here. And I feel it, and the chasm has arrived, and I see it clearly. And when the woman lights the candles, it means that she's able to transform all the little things of the week that meant nothing and mean nothing. And she's able, as I spoke about last week, that all of a sudden everything becomes so beautiful, so pretty, so sweet. When the woman is me'iras einenu, when she causes her eyes to be lit up and to feel the tachlis. What's my tachlis? My tachlis is my family. My tachlis is being a Jew. My tachlis is asking the children the parasha. My tachlis is looking a little bit in the Naim HaLamalach and Kedushas Levi. What's the tachlis? And therefore the Shabbos food is so good, because the Shabbos food is when the Chasna Kala have come. During the week, it's the food without the Chasna Kala. When the Shabbos food is with the Chasna Kala, it's a different tam. It's a different taste than the Shabbos. It's a different taste. And the Eishes Chayil. So we stand there, we sing Eishes Chayil. And the Malchus of the woman, which delays the Megame Klum. Oh, the woman says, oh, you did, look what you gave us, she says to her husband. Look what a beautiful home you made for us. Look what a beautiful table, it's because of you. And he thinks, she's right. It's because of me. How the katan, the one who's small, the moon, who's trampled upon like the earth, who the children take for granted, and she schleps a million times a week, carpool and this and that, and always doing and buying and coming and going. You know how many times, I can't even count how many times that finally that my wife, you know, she got, somebody gave, my, you know, her mother gave her some money and said, I don't want you to buy anything, I want you to go and buy yourself a robe or to buy yourself a dress. And my wife is all excited, and she makes a trip out to Borough Park. And so when she comes back, I said, so, no, Michla, what did you get? So she shows me something she got for the baby and for this one. She said, I couldn't pass it up. It was like, this happens all the time. Leis limigar me klum. That's what it means. Eishes chala teres bala. Eishes chala teres bala. There's ein brocha mitzuya, ein sholom. There's nothing in the house. Nothing. Just yigiyah of hevel v'rik, 6 days. And nobody knows that it's because of the moon that there's light, even in the darkest time. Tama kitav sachra, lo yichba balayla neira. Lo yichba balayla neira. Her candle doesn't go out in the night. It's when it shines most, Davka, like the moon. And therefore what happens? Just another 2, I'm sorry, it's later than 2 minutes. Noida b'sharim ba'ala. Her husband becomes known as a great person. Noida b'sharim ba'ala b'shiftayim ziknei aretz. He sits with the Talmid Chachamim. Noida b'sharim ba'ala. And everybody talks about, wow, you know, this guy is a big Talmid Chacham. He wrote this sefer, he did that. He's a chashuv person. He made this acquisition, this deal. Noida b'sharim ba'ala. Not her. She's the one that's with the candle during the night. Noida b'sharim ba'ala. But the husband becomes known in the gates. Noida b'sharim ba'ala. The Zohar Kodesh tells us that a name, shame, is malchus. Why? Shabbos, we saw, Shabbos, we spoke about at the beginning of this year, Shabbos is called, in the Zohar Kodesh, Shabbos is called Hashem's name. It's one of the reasons why we don't say Shabbos in the Mikveh, the Bez. Shabbos is one of Hashem's names. What does that mean? So the Kilis Yaakov, not the Stipler, but the Kilis Yaakov, the Meloi HaRoyim, he writes, shame, the name, is Bechinas Malchus. Nikris shame, Kamesh Omer Vayaz David shame. And David made a name. What does that mean? Something is only recognized and known because of its name. If a person were living his entire life by himself, God forbid, in a desert, he really wouldn't need a name, would he? Like, he doesn't have to sign a check or anything. He's in the desert, there's nobody else there. What do you need a name for? The name doesn't have any existence. Really, a name really doesn't have its own existence. What does the name mean? The woman is seeking to give a name for her husband, Noida b'sharim ba'ala, not for herself. All she wants is that her children should be recognized for who they are. And she wants that her husband, who knows how to learn, that he should be Noida b'sharim ba'ala, that he should be able to dwell with the Talmid Chacham to sit in Bismedrish. Noida b'sharim ba'ala, it's all that she wants, that they should have a shame, that they should be known to others, but she herself, b'chlal, doesn't want that. Therefore, the reason that Malchus is connected to shame and that Shabbos, the shame of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is because through the Jewish people, Hashem's name becomes known. We don't want ourselves to have a name. We want Hashem to be known. We want Hashem. Noida b'sharim ba'ala is the Shechina. We want the whole world to experience Hashem. We want the whole world to recognize Hashem. Let me read to you just a little tiny sentence from the Chovetz HaTalmidim translated into English. We can talk more about this piece. And since the Neshama of Knesset Yisrael reveals not only God's power, but His essential holiness and wisdom, our holy sages called it woman. The Neshama of Knesset Yisrael is called Eishes Chal, Teres Baal, is called a woman. Because of the passage in Bereishis that relates that woman was created out of man's body, and his bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. In this world, a woman brings children into the world who contain aspects of her husband's intelligence and wisdom, his actual brain. So too, the collective soul of Israel on high, God's queen, Hashem's queen, reveals the essence of the king to the individual Jews who emanate from her. All of the souls and all of the manifestations of this world all serve her purpose, the revelation of God's essence, which is the central purpose of all creation, all revelation. How many women have died, lo aleinu, giving birth, just to bring someone else into the world? The Jewish people have died 1 billion deaths to bring Hashem into the world, 1 billion deaths. You and I die every day, 1,000 times, because the rest of the world is doing this and doing that and indulging this and indulging that, and we would like to. But we don't. We die so that we should bring Hashem into the world. That's Eishes Chal Ateres Baala. That's what it means, Hashem's Eishes Chal. Therefore, the ultimate promise of Purim is Vatishak Liyem Acharein. That in the end, the mother is able to laugh. The wife, the woman, is able to laugh. Vatishak Liyem Acharein. Mashenikra, Rabbeinu Bechai writes, Mashenikra is Shabbos Kala. Shabbos is called Kala. Lefisha Shabbos Soif Sheishis Amei Bereishis. Because Shabbos is the end. Vatachlis Maisi Shamai Varetz. And it's the purpose of all creation. Kichen HaShabbos Shamai LeSoif Atzilis. Malchus is the final stage of all creation. V'chein min hogel shel ha'olam ha'gufoni hazeh shemevakshem ha'kala b'achrona. And he says, and it is the way of this world that the kala is sought at the end. She comes out last. Everybody's talking about the chosen, and the kala is someplace left by herself. And therefore Shabbos is everything. And because of that, Shabbos is so hidden. But the promise of Hashem that the day is going to come when the moon will be appreciated for all that she's done for us to light up the night, and that Hashem's Kala, Hashem's Eishes Chayil, will shine once again. And that Bez Hashem, that on that day, which will be the Purim of the laughter and the joy of Chai Vinish Levesumi Bepur Ad LaYoda, and the defeat of Amalek, till we don't know, because the highest level of a Jew is to be so intoxicated with Hashem till you don't know anything. All you know is Him. You know nothing at all. All you know is that you want to serve Him and to bring Him into our lives, into this world. We should be zoichim as Hashem to taste soon from the wine of that Purim of the Gula Shem Bramitis from Hebi Yameinu Amen.